I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh my mama. Oh my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine Monday through Friday. We are here for you. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, thank you for taking us along with you for this ride. We're coming to you after a 104-88 thrashing of the Orlando Magic. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Sam Jam Packard. But really, the biggest news, Jam, you made the new intro music.
I know. It's been a while. I've been a fan of Millie's for feels like a decade now. It's just it feels great accomplishing things in life. And this is probably like top three of best things I've ever done.
We want to give a huge shout out to Millie's for, I mean, his new album just dropped recently. He's out there, you know, playing shows, making music, and he still takes time out to remix our intro, to freshen it up, to have today's, you know, this team and all those references and to, you know, get us all in there again, man. That's just, that blows my mind. Cause like I was just saying before the show started, he's not nobody. Millie's is a big deal. And for him to take time out of a very busy schedule to do this for us is just ridiculous. So big shout out to him and a huge, huge thank you for doing that. All right. The Celtics just crushed Orlando, mostly behind a huge second and fourth quarter. But, you know, I don't know. Today kind of felt weird. The whole game felt off. Like, there was nothing particularly great about the flow for most of this game. It just felt like it was kind of... It kind of sucked for... The game actually kind of sucked. The game kind of sucked. It was, and I'm glad it sucked in a good way. And they came out of it holding the Magic to 88 points again. That's going to help their top-rated defensive rating. I don't know if that's the way that I should have phrased it, but whatever. Their defensive rating is going to get better, so that's good. But not great shooting, not great, not much that was particularly overly great. But you know, it was good. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, it was good. It's a weird energy for the Celtics. Eighth win in a row. Like, it's a huge win streak. But you're right. It kind of felt like the game was never really in doubt. You knew the Celtics were a little bit better, and the offense kind of struggled, but it was kind of that grit and grind game. No one scored that many points, but I feel like it's a classic Brad Stevens thing for everyone in the lineup. For the Celtics to get a win and everyone in the lineup to have like 12 to 15 points. But I think the big story, I guess, if coming out of the game is just like, the defense just continues to play well, and at some point they're just going to like get stops. And this happened in the second half, but it's like it's just hard to score on the kind of the length of this that the Celtics team have. And if you don't have elite players like the Magic, I'm all for the Magic making the playoffs because I think it's a good story because it's just annoying when a team's bad for a decade straight, but they don't really have anyone outside of Aaron Gordon who can score. I mean, Fournier and Terrence Ross really didn't shoot well tonight. And that's something that me and Jay were talking about, and I saw a bunch of talk tonight on Twitter. Is like the Celtics' opposition three-point percentage has been just bad for a while now, and I can't explain it because that's supposed to be one of the lucky stats. Steven said it was a point of emphasis this season. It was really like guarding the three-point line, but for some reason the Celtics are really good at it. And coming into this game, all Orlando was doing was making threes. And tonight, they only hit six of them. So
six of 29. That's a lot of threes to be making. Yeah.
So, all right, it's an ugly win, but I feel like that's the way the Celtics team is going to get wins. And that's the reason they're piling up eight in a row, is just their defense is making it hard for other teams to score. And eventually, they're just going to go on a run through that defense in transition and put it together, but the defense is really the one like paving the way.
Yeah, it's just how it's been this season. And, you know, like you said, Orlando's a good story. They're fun. All of a sudden, Aaron Gordon being a long-range bomber out of nowhere is weird and fun. But, you know, when you have Evan Fournier shooting 2 of 9 and, you know, Terrence Ross 0 of 4, I mean, that's pretty bad. So it's a live-by-the-three, die-by-the-three kind of team. And they died by the three a lot tonight. And credit the Celtics. Look, the Celtics defense, this is, what, game 10? And so we're still not really at a point where we can get enough information. But the numbers are starting to, we're starting to get into trends. You know, like we're starting to recognize certain things that are at least worth watching, like the Celtics defense being ranked top in the league after 10 games. All right, there's still 72 more games left, but the trend, we're starting to see things build towards a certain direction. So as long as they keep on doing the things that they're doing, as long as they keep on trusting each other and being big and athletic, I guess they can continue at least being a good defensive team, and we'll see where that number ultimately settles. The offense, I mean, look, they put up 104 points tonight, but I think a lot of that was kind of garbage time at the end. Their offense still has problems. There were many times tonight where I looked at the offense and was just like, oh God, what are you guys doing? I tweeted out a picture of four guys on the same side of the floor, and the fifth guy was like at half court, not even pictured. I highlighted in my halftime periscope a play where Marcus Smart was guilty of trying to make a play himself rather than just kind of taking what the defense was giving him.
Marcus Smart trying to force the issue? You're shocking.
Yeah, so There were a lot of times like that tonight, and that's a habit that the Celtics get into, right? Like when things are not going great, they tend to devolve a little bit into, all right, I'll just go try to make a play myself. So that's not great. That's not great. That's a habit they have to get out of, and I would rather have them miss while trying to run the offense correctly, and eventually those misses are going to turn into makes. So again, I guess the overall theme of this was kind of sort of ugly. But on the positive side, Jaylen Brown had a nice 18.7 rebound night. The rebounding numbers, and Mike Gorman was highlighting this in the broadcast. You got 10 for Al Horford, 7 for Morris, 7 for Brown, 7 for Baines, 8 for Marcus Smart, 7 for Tito Three Sticks. You've got all of these guys with 7-plus rebounds. That's big. That's huge. And two of them are your guards. And that's just a huge, huge advantage for the Celtics to have all of those guys get in there, get on the boards, rebound. At least when the offense is not going great, they're getting those stops. And with Orlando missing a bunch of those threes, a bunch of long rebounds to get those guards to pick up and boost their numbers. But just great that the Celtics can go out and finish off these possessions. When you're talking about the team defense, that's the thing. And this is like the fifth straight podcast that we're talking about it. But closing out defensive possessions is something they're doing this year that they didn't do last year. They're closing out those misses. They're holding teams to one shot mostly. And that's a huge, huge difference because now those second chance points really don't exist like they did last year.
And it's just their transition game is that much better. You talked about their struggles on offense. The less you have to play out like half court offense, the less you have to slow it down is the better for the Celtics at this point. And they just have so many guys who are comfortable with the ball attacking in transition, whether it be Kyrie, Rozier, Smart, Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, I think that's where he's made like the biggest leap, is that it feels like he can pretty much Euro step past any defender one-on-one and get at least a foul call. The less they actually just have to take the ball out from under the basket, so with their playing defense and the defensive rebound, the better this team's going to be. Their transition game is just great. And when Marcus Smart is forced to play a bunch of point guard and doing like make a lot of decisions in the pick and roll, the offense can get stagnant. But this is like the classic, I guess, Marcus Smart game, is that he looks shitty in the first half, and then they just leave him in there for the majority of the second half, and he like approaches a triple-double. Has like that awesome FU steal at the end of the half. It's just like, I feel it's almost cliche at this point to say a Marcus Smart game because it's just like so on brand for him every single time.
It is very on brand. Also on brand is us promoting the other shows in the Locked On Network, which you should be listening to after a show, after a game like this. It's fun to listen to what Locked On Magic will have to say, and you should be listening to them because they are doing a great job, not only just covering the team, but you get to see what the competition is like and take a listen to Locked On Hawks. The Hawks had a wild finish against the Cavaliers today. What a funny team they are, that is, and the Cavs are such a mess. Listen to what Locked On Hawks has to say after that, beating the Cavaliers and getting ready to face the Celtics on a back-to-back. So check out those other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. One thing I noticed today is now that Marcus Morris is back, we didn't see Al Horford and Aaron Baines on the floor together at all in this game. I think when we talk about the numbers starting to show trends, one of the trends that we've seen is Horford and Baines together is problematic for the offense. So I think, now I don't know, I don't think Marcus Morris is going to play the whole game. I mean, play the game against Atlanta. I think they're holding him out for one of the back-to-backs. So obviously he played against Orlando. He'll probably not play against Atlanta. So with that in mind, there'll be different rotations against the Hawks, but when he's healthy and fully ready to play, I think this is what we're going to start to see. A lot less Aaron Baines with Al Horford, and Aaron Baines is going to mostly be the guy who comes in for Al Horford, and Horford and Baines are going to be like your rim protectors on the floor at all times.
And I think it makes a lot of sense just with what you assume Marcus Morris is eventually going to become offensively. It's kind of clear that his shot is not where it needs to be. A lot of his misses are short, and you imagine he would eventually get his legs back. But having him on the court, just the starting lineup of you can truly play five out with Horford, Morris, Tatum, Irving, and Brown, it's so much more dynamic in terms of just every single player is able to catch, shoot, or put the ball on the floor immediately just from whipping around the top of the key. So it makes sense to me. You mentioned the like kind of offensive struggles. The numbers point to Horford and Baines not being great together, but I'm pretty sure they also had like the best defensive rating that pairing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I really think it's going to be matchup based. If there's like a physical big who's probably you don't want to put Horford on, or you want to put Horford on a player like Giannis, and I don't know. This is just the example that came to my mind, but like Greg Monroe is still on the court. You still need a big to do that with Horford playing more on the perimeter. So I don't know if we're never going to see Baines and Horford together again, because I just think there's some matchups that work. But you're right. In terms of what the Celtics imagined their offense would be like, I'm sure Marcus Morris was always in those plans, and I think that's what the kind of the offense is designed to do, just have so many guys who can attack you and play that five-out system. So hopefully Morris will get his legs back under him and start shooting a little bit better. But I mean, I like his aggression. He had he believes in his shot. It will eventually fall. He had that crazy and one.
yeah.
That was just absurd and no one had any business making. But I like the fact that he attempted it. It's good stuff. And him and Marcus Smart feel like they belong together.
Yeah, they're both a little nuts. That shot, that warmed Jay King's heart. It's a true shooter shot. Yeah, Morris, it's funny you talk about like his shot being short. There was an early sequence. I remember he front-rimmed one, he got the ball back, he front-rimmed the second one, and then he got the ball back, he shot it a third time, and then you just knew that it was going to go long because he was like, damn it, just everything was short. Until like in the second half, he got his shot off a little bit better. He shot, in the second half, he was 3 of 4. As opposed to in the first half, he was 1 of 6. So he figured it out after halftime, but it took a little while. He'll get it. He can shoot. He's a good offensive player. And you saw today that he really was going, he was really just ISOing. And every chance he had to shoot the ball, he shot it. So I get people tweeting me going, does he pass? No, he doesn't pass.
He might eventually.
He might at some point. He's not passing right now. But that's fine. You know, he was a big reason in the second half why you could see the offense pick up a little bit. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not going to be Al Horford or Aaron Baines all the time. There are going to be games where Baines does start, and they do play very well defensively. Baines could get on the floor as a finisher with Horford in certain situations when you need stops, when you absolutely have to have stops more than points, then he could be the guy who finishes games rather than Morris. But starting Morris, yeah, you play five out, but you're not losing a ton on defense either. He just guards a different type of player mostly, but you can still have a pretty good defense with Marcus Morris on the floor as opposed to Aaron Baines. So it's all, you know, still a work in progress. So, you know, I don't really have much else from tonight's game. There's not a lot that I really want to talk about with tonight's game.
The only thing I can think of is small shouts to Semi Ojeleye coming in, just playing solid defense and hitting his 1-3.
Yeah.
Semi just continues to do a little bit, like, just solid defense. And you know what? He deserves our praise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of these guys deserve our praise. How about this? Shane Larkin. Shane Larkin come in, play 10 minutes of really solid point guarding. And I think the Celtics were struggling a little bit with some turnovers, and he came in and just was a nice, solid, gave a nice, solid performance, you know? So nothing great, but I think he did a nice job. You know, we didn't see Daniel Tice until the very end with Marcus Morris out. That's going to be an interesting thing. With Marcus Morris probably out against Atlanta, we'll probably see a ton of Tice, but now, does Daniel Tice, is he the guy who loses the most minutes in the Marcus Morris exchange?
I think that would make a lot of sense. And I'm not going to cry for Daniel Tice, though. I don't think Tice needs minutes, but I don't think you can play like that many more players. Like, Marcus Morris expects to get over 20 minutes a game. So I think Tice will be the kind of the energy guy off the bench, and hopefully just throw him in if shit's not working, because I don't know. The more I said that, and then I thought about it, I was like, Tice does provide some, like, some length and some defense, and so, like, rolling to the rim, kind of above the rim basketball that the Celtics don't have with Morris in the game. So who knows? I at this point, I know that's not the best answer. Is I have no idea what's going to happen. But
of course,
that's truly my honest take.
One other thing I want to mention before: do you have a junk drawer tonight?
I got a very short one, but then we got to get to the boat. So I thought, was hoping the boat would.
Oh, the boat! Drawer. Yes, yes. So one thing I want to mention is, you know, we mentioned Jaylen Brown before. That kid's going to start making his free throws. He's after tonight. He's shooting 56.5% for the regular season. That's not great. I mean, it's only 26 of 46, but last year he shot 68.5%, and so that seems to be a thing that's going to be a thorn in his side. So I just want to say that Jaylen Brown, as much as he was pretty good and he can do a lot of things, he does have to do two things better. He has to finish better around the rim, and he has to hit his free throws. And I'm not saying this as a point of absolute concern yet, but it's two things that I've noticed from so far this season. He's driving like a maniac. He's getting to the rim. He's posting up sometimes. He's missing a lot. He's missing a lot at the rim. So that needs to kind of get tightened up. And I feel like that's not hard to tighten up, but he's got to do it. And he's got to figure out the free throws, because you can't be shooting under 60% when you drive like he does. And when you draw fouls like he can, you can't go out there and leave points on the floor, because at some point it's going to hurt. It's going to burn you.
Yeah, and I don't think we're in the hack of Jaylen era yet, but if he keeps shooting that poorly, it could happen quite quickly.
So, all right, let's do a quick junk drawer, and then we got to get the boat.
Jaylen Brown's actually where we lead off, because he hit a couple corner threes tonight, and I can't believe I haven't started calling him this sooner, but Downtown Jaylen Brown is an amazing nickname, and I don't know why. It just feels so natural. Shouts to Downtown Julie Brown, who I don't even really know what she did, but I just remember that name. So,
I remember Downtown Julie Brown.
She was like an MTV DJ,
she,
right?
Yeah, yeah. She had the I forget what they called the dance party show. Back when dance party shows were like the thing, they were hot. But
when it was entertaining to watch other people just dance.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a thing. That was a stretch of time in our history that You know, I'm gonna tell you something right now. I in Rhode Island in my younger days I actually shot a pilot for a local dance show. I was one of the dancers that never made it.
Oh my God, we got to find that tape.
I don't even know who it was. I don't know the production company. This was years, like 20 years ago, but longer than that. But I'm telling you right now that was somewhere, and it, I don't know if it still exists, but some production company in Rhode Island back in my college days shot a dance show and I was on it.
What type of music were you dancing to?
Oh, it was all like you know, the house music, the same shit that everybody else was dancing to. Oh yeah, man. I mean, come on. That was it. I had my MC Hammer shoes. I was moving. Can't move like that anymore though.
That's awesome. Oh, shout out to anyone in Rhode Island who can hook us up with that video. It could be the new Zaza. Could be the new Gino. Oh my God.
If that video exists, I want to see it. I definitely want to see it. I never saw it. We shot it, and then I never heard from anybody again. Like, the whole thing just went away. It never aired. It never did anything. It was, but I don't know. If that exists, somebody, please. I'd love to see it.
John's Rhode Island dance party. Oh my God. That would be amazing. The only other thing I have for junk drawer, it's not even really a junk drawer thing. It's just Al Horford passing from the post is just awesome.
Every single time
he's just patient and just is waiting for the cut. There's specifically that one play where he passed it to Tatum underneath who had gotten an and one. Mm. But just, oh my God, he's just like such a patient playmaker, and he just deserves to be appreciated more, which I think he will in Aaron Bain's Australian boat for this week. He's my number one selection. It's obvious. He was amazing in OKC. He's shooting like 45% from three-point land. Of course he's going to be on. He is definitely not average. Anyone who says that is a bad taker. Shouts to Lou Maloney. He actually realized this. He admitted he was wrong. So that's huge of a Boston sports personality to do. So shouts to Sweet Lou, Angry Lou, whatever version of Lou. But Al Horford, definitely first on Aaron Bain's Australian boat. Like, it has to be.
Yeah, that take by Lou was so hot. So scorching hot that those burns will last forever. Like, he can apologize all he wants, but people will throw average Al at him forever. Well, you know, or at least for a long time, because it's just one of those things. It's like the the New York Yankees, they did the thumbs down thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because some Mets fan went over there and was like thumbs downing them. And they just co-opted it into their own, like, woo, look at us. We're taking it and making it to a positive. Like, average Al is becoming, like, the rallying cry for every time Al Horford goes off and is awesome. Like he was tonight. It typically quiet Al Horford, but 14-10-4. Yeah, Al Horford is captain of the boat. Absolutely.
After every single game, is there, you just see the opposing coach talking about how good Al Horford is defensively out there. And then he just goes out and is consistently making threes and playmaking. And there's like a weird debate that I saw happen on Twitter today. And it's definitely just veers off into this weird Kyrie Irving Cleveland thing. But it's like, why didn't Kyrie create or do this kind of action when playing with Kevin Love? Because right now him and Horford have this amazing two-man game. And everyone's like, well, where the hell did this come from? And I don't know what that related to my original point because
well, how about Al Horford's just a better overall basketball player than Kevin Love?
I think that's a lot to do with it. I think he just moves better with, especially without the basketball. Like, Kevin Love is a very good 3-point shooter, especially against the Celtics. He's also a solid post player, but and just in terms of movement and fluidity, like, Al Horford's the guy you want setting like the crazy wide stance picks and then rolling to the basketball and making the right decision. So I think part of it is Kyrie's just like, that's what the Celtics offense is. They don't have a LeBron James to kind of throw the ball to. But also just Al Horford's a better all-around basketball player, and he's really proving his worth this season, and it's awesome. I mean, I love Al Horford's the background of my phone. People give me weird looks on the train when they see me open my phone, but I just look at them and say, you know what? He's got gorgeous eyes and he's a great basketball player. So how can I say no?
How can you say no? He hasn't missed the three-pointer in two games. 3 of 3 against Orlando, 4 of 4 against Oklahoma City. That's ridiculous.
At least got to say for one moment, that comeback against Oklahoma City was awesome.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that. We didn't talk about that. You know, and I want to say shout out to everybody who was calling out. Like after that game Friday, people were like, we need a post-game show. I know you're Monday through Friday, and you got to do one. And we didn't. People got on us for not doing a podcast. People got on me for not doing a halftime show. But, you know, we want one day where it was like...
It's a Friday night, and I'm going to be probably in no shape. Like, I could do a podcast, but I just wouldn't be able to control what I said. And... That's not like it would probably be entertaining, but it's not good for me. There's just a lot of risk there and like not a lot of tangible benefit. So
right.
I appreciate the support and that you guys want to hear the freshest take from Jam's mouth. But you know what? I can't do that on Friday night. And I apologize now to the Hall of Fans for the disappointment.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we polish off the boat and then we can go back to Friday because we didn't talk about the Thunder game, which was a. Really a signature win for the Celtics. So let me just say that I'll put Kyrie Irving on the boat.
Absolutely.
That's an obvious choice. I mean, his streak of 20-plus games came to an end tonight, but he started off, what, through the first 8 or 9 games, more points than anybody else in Celtics history through that stretch. So, yeah, he gets a ride on the boat.
Just the moments in the games when he starts dribbling and, like, you can hear the crowd getting a little bit excited just because – you don't know exactly what's going to happen, and really anything can happen. And I don't even think Kyrie knows what's going to happen. He's so woke, and he's so open to anything that any possibility, any universe can happen, and that's what his like dribbling is. It's just amazing. It's like the moment of excitement when he like goes through his legs rapidly 4 or 5 times in a row is great, and he definitely deserves a ride on the boat because he's not single-handedly, it's a basketball's a team game, and I just spent 20 minutes talking about how great Al Horford was. So with Al Horford and the rest of his teammates, he did a great job in that Oklahoma City game. And just feels like at any point, he hasn't completely dominated yet, but he can really get baskets when he needs them. And then maybe I think that's what the Celtics offense is going to be this year if they do struggle in the half court. It's really, really try and get buckets in transition, and then hopefully just Kyrie and Al will bail you out at the end of games.
Okay, your turn for the boat.
This is a tough one. I'm trying to remember all the games this week, and I don't know. I got nothing. I don't know no one immediately comes to mind as deserving of the boat.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that I'm going to put Baines on his boat. I'm putting Baines on his boat, especially for his role in the comeback. In the fourth quarter of that game, he was toast. Brad Stevens rode him as hard as he could ride him, and Baines was just making defensive play after defensive play. He was a rock out there in the fourth quarter as the Celtics kept chipping away at the lead, and he was sitting there protecting the rim, and you knew that he probably should have been subbed out 2 minutes before he was, but he just kept on going, and Brad just kept on riding him, and that kept Horford on the bench just a little bit longer, and he came in fresh, and then he started bombing away from three. And I have no way of proving this, but I really do think that Baines keeping Horford fresh for that long allowed Horford to come out and just start picking right up and not be tired. So I think just for that reason alone that Baines gets on the boat. It was much like in the Red Sox with their big comeback against the Yankees when Wakefield took just a beating out of the bullpen so he could get the starters, like let them get themselves together and whatever. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the Red Sox kept winning games and they made that big comeback against the Yankees. It's a very small basketball version of that where Baines just kept on playing and he let Horford rest and Horford came in and was just awesome.
And a team like the Thunder is the exact scenario where you need someone like Aaron Baines just because Steven Adams, probably at this point my favorite non-Celtic, just because I'm a big fan of the New Zealand, classic New Zealand-Australia matchup, by the way. I wanted more beef between them, but Baines was actually born in New Zealand but claims Australia. But that's exactly why you need him in the game or need him on the roster, and because you don't really want Al Horford playing against someone that big and that kind of imposing. And you're right, Baines deserves a ride on his own boat. He played quite well, and he's lord of the mid-range. Like, if he's inside the paint, it feels like it's going in, but the second it steps outside the paint, where I get a little bit murky on the Baines mid-range jump shot, but he's been very solid in that regard, so I think he's absolutely deserving. After that, I don't know, though.
Yeah. We had the Sacramento game, and we had the Spurs game, a couple of big wins. Let's see. I mean, you know, Terry Rozier has had enough production, I think, where, I don't know, he's at least, maybe he's in the side in the dinghy, like alongside, yeah. But he had some pretty solid contributions off the bench, but you know,
here's the thing, no one's been bad. There's no one who deserves like public shaming or to wear a dunce cap.
Right,
it feels like they just have solid performances. And that they're setting the bar too high probably for themselves, because just because no one's been amazing, everyone's just been solid. And then, so you know what? Solid's not going to cut it for the boat, but you can't be upset with these guys.
No. So, I mean, that's fine. We'll just leave it at that. You know, Tatum has been pretty good, but he's been up and down. Jaylen Brown has been up and down. Again,
Marcus Smart is up and down. Like, that is his entire thing.
Yeah, his production reads like an EKG, so it's just really interesting the way he's been kind of good and bad. It's typical Marcus Smart. But no one, you're right, no one has been outright bad in this. There's just varying degrees of good, which is what happens when you're 8-2, varying degrees of good. So we'll just leave it at that. It's right now it's a party. Baines gets a ride on his own boat with Horford and Kyrie.
And shouts to the listeners who are tracking boat appearances each week. I'm completely blanking on the Twitter user who is doing this, but I feel bad for that, but I just remembered it. And shouts to that guy for tracking the statistics. We'll have updates soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome of him to do.
I think his name is Max. I want to say his name is Max, but
it is now. You know
what? It is now. Max the stats guy. Max, thanks for doing this.
We'll call him Max Power. How about that?
Damn right we will. The name you mustn't touch.
Before we wrap things up, let's get to our hashtag Rain and Jays on Twitter. Shout out to Mickey Westside, who I don't know what this picture is in reference to. Some show that I probably should watch but don't. But very excited. He says, this is me waiting for the newest Ray and Jay's podcast, two big wins for the C's, and a new Millie's intro. Mike Dinan, plus minus can often be misleading, but Smart plus 32 and Rozier plus 22 is impressive as hell. That was impressive. I mean, Smart damn near had a triple-double, and Rozier had, I mean, big positive impact.
Yeah, this tweet, and I saw a quote with Steven saying that a lot of the defensive or a lot of the success the Celtics had last year in the playoffs was Marcus and Terry Tito. How dare I call him Terry, coming off the bench.
Damn it. We're trying to start something here.
Yeah. I have a movement. That's my fault. That's a Jimbo on my bed. That sentence even makes sense, but the duo of Smart and Tito coming off the bench has been very good for the Celtics. And, I think the Celtics are made up of duos right now. So you have the two young guys, you have Kyrie and Al and Kyrie, and then these two young guys coming off the bench. I think it just naturally lends itself for the Celtics being come a police procedural comedy with Brad Stevens as the angry lieutenant. And then you have duos of the Kyrie and Al, the two young guys as the young new guys on the force straight at the academy. And then Tito and Marcus as your wild card duo. I mean, it's just perfect. It writes itself.
Absolutely. At Ben Gates, at Gates_Ben. I think the Celtics just proved the Magic early season form was an aberration and not the norm. Did he really try to rhyme that?
If he did, that's damn impressive, Ben Gates. The Magic were also without point guards today, and Jonathan Simmons was their point guard, and he doesn't normally do that. So you're right. They struggle to score points, but I don't know how much that is just because they were missing a lot of threes and they were out point guards. Like, it's hard to take too much away from one game.
At Carbonite Kid, can we just go ahead and appoint Kyrie as Jaylen's dribbling coach now, please? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's see. At Simp Nation, not one of my usual basketball podcasts. Hold on. Not one of my usual basketball podcasts. Put a pod out last night. I'm too sad. Need to listen to the Celtics praise after that. Oh, okay. I totally botched that. And I'm not even going to edit that.
No need to.
Not one of my usual basketball podcasts put a pod out after last night's win. This is after the OKC win. I'm sad. Need to listen to Celtics praise after that. So this is somebody who wanted the podcast after the Thunder game. So, I mean, do you have any random thoughts from that Thunder game?
Not that I remember. not in this moment, no. It was just my memories from that game are Kyrie being amazing off the dribble and Al making threes and just the Celtics playing great defense against some elite talent. I think the defense really came together in that second half. And we talked about it a little bit before with Aaron Baines. I thought they just did a really good job of forcing Oklahoma City into bad shots and kind of Russell Westbrook's very willing to take along too. And it feels like Carmelo Anthony is also very willing to take along too. So it was just a great signature win for the Celtics early on the season because before that game, a lot of the things we were saying was like, oh, we haven't really seen them do it against anyone great yet. And then they showed that they're at least a legitimate team in this Eastern Conference there. You don't know what's going to happen. Cavs struggling. Wizards haven't been amazing, but they've been decent. So it's wide open for the Celtics. And so a win against a better team in the league is generally a good thing, in my opinion.
One other thought that I do have that I just remembered from the Oklahoma City game is Marcus Morris guarding Carmelo Anthony was a huge reason in the second half why the Celtics were able to really stop the Thunder. The Thunder are clearly still trying to figure things out, but Carmelo Anthony shot 1 of 12 in the second half, and Marcus Morris is a big reason for that. Morris is athletic enough to hang with Melo, and just whenever Melo tries to get to a spot, he can do it. He's strong enough to kind of hold him off. And as Hubie Brown was saying in the game, you have to get up into Carmelo's space and not give him an opportunity to use his skill and cunning to be able to step back without even a dribble and get a shot off. So Marcus Morris was exceptional in getting up in Carmelo's face and really not making things really easy for him at all. So the Celtics did a great job against a really talented offensive team. And look, Russell Westbrook didn't have a good game. Paul George didn't have a great game, especially in the second half. So, and another shout out to Brian Scalabrine for just eviscerating Paul George. That where he said after Paul George missed a late three, where Scal on the broadcast said he only makes those in Gatorade commercials. Oh, man. Holy shit! That's just vicious. That's a fatality. That's a Mortal Kombat fatality. That's it.
Shouts to Scal. I love Road Games. I think he's like a great analyst, and he's like very informative while being entertaining. I watched him and Abby Chin do a Periscope this morning just because it was on my Twitter right as I was waking up and first checking Twitter. Very entertaining and informative. There was a lady in the background eating breakfast the whole time. She was gross. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. So shout out to them. Shout out to Scal for just being vicious. All right. Fun times. Celtics are 8-2. Surprisingly, 8-2. After going 0-2 to start the season, they've won 8 straight. We will be back tomorrow after what we hope is the 9th straight after they play the Hawks. And both teams coming off of back-to-back, the Hawks coming out off of an emotional win over the Cavaliers that forced them all to play the entire game And for the Celtics, it was at least a nice blowout before the first part of the back-to-back, though they do have to travel. So still, as good as it can get heading into the back-to-back with none of the Celtics starters playing any more than not even 29 minutes. So hopefully that bodes well. If you are not a subscriber, we want to encourage you, please subscribe. If this is your first time listening to the show, we hope you have enjoyed it. We are here Monday through Friday, and so jump in anytime during the week. We're happy to have you. And thanks again to Millie's for the new music. Just great shit, man. So thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.